Okay, Russ. Tonight, October the 14th, 1997, approximately 20-30 hours, correct? Okay. First of all, let us get down to a brief dissertation, and brief, I mean brief, on my pet subject, which is morals and scruples and the difference between higher morals and third dimensional morals. And being a third dimensional evolved being that I supposedly am, I formulated some of my own morals, which we've covered in the past. But looking at current morals on your planet and the moral degradation that I'm watching and seeing, and comments of Russ and more people hitting a nudie site than hitting the Hades Base news. And this in itself brought a fascinating thought that I'm still trying to understand, and that is the preoccupation with sex and how that interplays in the moral growth. And how degrading it can be to individuals, both male and female. The fact that female sexuality and nudity seems to be more explored than male sexuality or homosexuality, except for in the case of women, which for some reason men find so fascinating. First of all, let me preface this by saying on higher dimensions, sexuality is, first of all, done by consenting people. It's done for pleasure. There's nothing dirty or cheap or nasty about it whatsoever. It's all very tasteful and seems to be an expression of not only self-love and love for the other person, but love for the group as a whole. For example, when two people are in their most intimate mode, two people that love each other dearly and have shared many past lives together, that in itself is an expression of purest love. But when it is two strangers that are enjoying an intimate moment of pleasure between them, it is a gift of thank you from one person to another. And a exchanging of intimate patterns on a group level, even though it is two individuals. So it doesn't matter if it's female, male, it's an expression of love for the group, or male, male, or female, female. That is all an expression of love and understanding and joy and happiness and release for the whole entire group, even though, as I said, it is just two people, or three people, or however many people are involved. However, on the third dimension on your planet, it seems that there are so many different factors that come into play in the sexual act. And it can be turned and twisted and used in a different way. It can be used as an escape. It seems to be used as a power trip. It seems to be used to make people feel better about themselves. It seems to be used to come up with a interesting expression. Used to get one's bangs. Very strange expression. That is a third dimensional Earth expression. And it seems to me that I can't call it love making because it's not sex. The act, the desire, lust, is a... I can't think of the correct word. But that in itself, the act of using it for all those things that I've mentioned, for lust, for self-gratification, for a power trip, for getting bangs, whatever, in itself opens up a whole list of moral dilemmas and possibilities. And the feeling of she's mine, he's mine, is a interesting dilemma that when my man goes off and has sex with another woman, and I'm speaking as if I was on your planet in a third dimensional level, I have to get jealous, upset, and can I trust him? And that is another part, right there, trust. In a more involved environment, you don't need that trust to have somebody race off, make love, have sex, get their bangs, whatever you want to call it, and then wonder if they're going to come back to you. Because on a higher level, you know that they're going to come back. You know that they are enjoying themselves. They are fulfilling a need, not only for them, but for the other person, because it is mutual. There is no such thing on a higher dimensional level as rape. It is willing and consensual with both parties. But on the third dimensional, this seems not to be the case. And this is a conundrum to puzzle on the evolutionary advancement. The jealousy factor. Let's call it the jealousy factor. Why would somebody feel jealous about somebody else? It's because they perceive them as their mate, their property, their friend, whatever. And the fact that they're going off and having fun and enjoying themselves with somebody else seems to create friction. And dealing with that friction is the first step. So, in a third-dimensional environment, is it worth having free love? And the answer and conclusion that I've come to is no, except in certain circumstances, being where the parties involved are spiritually advanced, to be aware that the ramifications involved, behaving in the six-dimensional way, in the joining, in union, in whatever form. Okay, dissertation done.
Okay. Now, we understand that, you know, there is no rape, there is no real jealousy on a higher dimensional level.
Mm-hmm.
But from a lower dimensional level, the more I'm looking at it, it almost seems like it's necessary for our evolutionary lyricists at this time.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
But why?
Why? To deal with those emotions. To deal with those situations. How you handle them is all important. From what I've heard and having whispered in my ear, is that you seem to deal with those situations very well in your capacity. But your partners, on the other hand, tend to get very confused and distraught by them and causes all sorts of problems.
Well, the fact that they're sharing you with someone on a higher dimension is cool to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, next question.
Okay. Basically, knowing that they deal with things, even if a third dimensional girl,
mm-hmm.
they're jealous of, but have no reason to. It's all mostly, you know, just really problems that you're working out from past lives with them, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, why doesn't that happen on higher dimensions? Why don't you have that karma to work out?
Because we know what our, or they know what their karmas are. They know what happened and why, and how it interplayed over a long period of time. It's like looking at a picture, and we use this analogy over and over again, and focusing on one small section. That's all you see. But when you step back and look at the whole entire picture, you see it is totally different. And that is how it works with past lives, is you're looking at the whole picture.
So in other words, you guys kind of get together for a couple of drinks and laugh about your past lives?
Right, yes. They do.
They do, right. That's a good one to watch. Mm-hmm. I remember when you got all jealous and da-da-da-da-da.
Yes, basically from what I've seen.
Hmm. That must be humorous being short.
I should imagine it would be.
I can only picture it. I can't see it myself.
I've seen it.
Okay. I don't really have any other questions to go with on the subject for now. Morals are always just something you have to, you know, accept, jealousy, and right. All that stuff is just a third dimensional state of mind. And,
yeah.
You know, it comes with the state of the third dimension.
Yeah.
We agree to be here to learn these lessons. Well, we have to accept how we've shaped our classroom.
Correct. Okay. Greetings and felicitations, Russ.
Greetings, Omar.
Greetings. We will do a slightly different format, and I will go over Tia's, and then I will hand back to her, and then she will put on the guest speaker.
Okay.
Okay. Let us address, first of all, her dissertation and the discussion, or her dissertation on morals of a sexual nature. And dealing with the differentials of third dimensional and sixth dimensional. Which we must add into this, the fact that the past lives, and knowing all their past lives, interact in the way that people behave on a higher dimensional level. And the conundrums that they have in dealing with these past lives. And explaining the two consensual adults joining in a intimate matter normally interacts with their past lives. And the fact that these two individuals may not have ever met in a third dimensional capacity, but are joining in. And they know how the other people involved in the joining, and I will explain this in a moments, will understand and accept the joining for what it is. Now, in reference to the other individuals involved, I'm not saying people watching, I'm not saying people joining in, I am saying partners, friends, and associates of the individuals involved in the intimate act and how they perceive the joining. They are aware of the past lives and the events that have occurred in past lives. So therefore, they see the whole picture, as Tia put it, and not just a part of the picture. So that the joining in the intimate matter is accepted in the larger scale of things. And for example, a couple, a male and a female, making love without protection. Maybe the young lady involved is ovulating and she wants a child from the best genetic material available. And knowing her past lives and knowing the possibility that there is a being that is waiting for rebirth that wants to be in contact with her again, she is fulfilling a karmic debt from the past. Okay, any questions?
No, you confused me pretty good there.
No, thank you. I do try. I will be back.
Okay.
Okay, we are prepping up the guest speaker.
Hey, somebody have to come in and translate me for a voice statement there. Let me get it out of tape correctly.
Okay, we're prepping up the guest speaker. We're using a special setup for the guest speaker. Okay, so there may be a delay of a few minutes or a few seconds. We'll see how it goes.
A lot of build up here, isn't it?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Not really. Is this the Baron?
Yeah.
Greetings, Baron.
Greetings.
How are you today?
I am doing well.
Good. How do you like your time on the base?
Makes me feel young.
Yes, I hear you've been going down to Germany and overflying that once in a while.
Nein. Not Germany. Not Deutschland.
Oh.
Fly over Flanders.
Oh.
Ypres.
Mm-hmm.
Somme, Mons, all over area, yeah?
Yeah.
What's this loss?
Laptop computer.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have this back then down there.
Nein.
So, which reminds me, a lot of changes in the area from when you last saw it.
Yeah. Lots of rebuilt.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Improved?
Different, yeah?
Different. I'll agree. Most different.
Yeah.
And we're honored to have you on the base and have you very honored to have you in this channeling session tonight.
Dankeschön. Your headset look like I have a helmet.
Helmet. I have used it, yeah.
Yeah. Plug in Total Think in
English?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is hard sometimes.
Yes. You don't know English, I take it?
Yeah. I can see, yeah.
Ah.
I'm Bishop. So I think in English that I know and I'm Bishop Deutschland. Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
Young lady recovering from what's the name?
Oh, Katrina.
Yeah, Katrina, but what's the name of the dogfight?
Dogfight, yes.
Yeah. We try this setup, but Russian might be a problem.
Yeah. It's a little bit different.
So, you'll ask questions, yeah?
Yeah. Mostly about your wishing to fly alone.
Ah, yeah.
That seems a little dangerous.
Nein. Zeta, ich norden Sie in Gleiden. Zeta's red, see red.
Oh, okay.
And group mind?
Yes.
Long time history.
Ah.
Ah, yeah. And Red Yachtenschwader.
Your red plane.
Yeah.
They see you, they go bugging off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your reputation precedes you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see. So if you paint all the ships in Astrid Command red.
Ah, but Vice craft. All red. Zeta attack. What's fucking red bar? Yeah?
Yeah. One of them could be you.
Yeah. But I think trick only worked a few times.
Yeah, only a few times. Mm-hmm. It's a good trick, though.
little fancy Fraulein, say ask history.
Oh, okay.
Okay, ask question.
Okay. Now, is there a difference in tactics with flying a base ship compared to flying a World War II plane? Of course, there's more things you can do, but the tactics, do they still maintain?
Basic.
Okay. Right.
But some tactic you'll never do.
Right.
Aircraft on your planet, 9.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you still have things like Immelmann's.
Yeah.
Volker's dictum.
Yeah. Oswald. Thank you.
Thank you. Farewell. No, that was a nice surprise to you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thought you'd like that.
Yeah, it was cool.
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice guy.
He's having a hard time with your English.
Well, it's not exactly his first language either.
No, true.
I mean, it's probably tough enough learning German from Syrian.
Mm-hmm. I'll put on Amal.
Okay.
Greetings once again, Rax.
And greetings once again, Amal.
Okay, let us go over the Baron. Can we or can't we?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm glad it's your call.
No, I have an idea.
Okay.
On your webpage. Mm-hmm. You have a picture of a UFO.
Yeah. And turn it red.
We will discuss this at a later time.
Okay.
First of all, I need to get clearance because it is border point. Okay, let us move on to my dissertation.
Okay.
And then we will get on to our next few speakers. Okay. Consciousness and being. What is consciousness? You are conscious. I am conscious. The feline is conscious. But what is conscious? Let us look at one of your philosophers, René Descartes. I think, so therefore I am. Is thinking part of consciousness? Yes. A feline that watches and waits has to plan. The reason I bring up the felines is because there is a feline outside yammering to get in. That feline is thinking. How can it get in? How can it get your attention? That shows it is thinking, so therefore it has consciousness. A bird flying, something like a
blue check. That thinks of survival only. It is conscious, yes, to a certain extent, but not in the sense of consciousness with being. It certainly has a spirit. It certainly has thought, but it is rudimentary thought, more instinctual. So where do you draw a line at consciousness? That is a tricky question that on the seventh dimension we still debate. Okay, let us look at sentia, thinking, being aware, being spiritually able to grow. Well, the bird fails in that category. The feline. Some felines do, and some felines don't. This simple explanation on what is sentient. Sentient is thinking, planning, remembering, learning, growing spiritually, spiritual being. There is much more to sentient than just the six items I've just covered. All these factors together make a being aware and able to learn and advance the plan. That is part of consciousness. Factor into that group consciousness, the consciousness of the awareness of the group and the learning that goes from that, being able to tap into the past group memory, be able to learn and grow from that. You would be surprised how many people actually do that, that claim to be against spiritual revivalism. And in doing so, they are themselves involved in the spiritual movement. I'm not talking about the more popular religions. I'm talking about all spiritual religions. Okay, do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Yes, let the feline in.
Good. Okay, now, as far as, first off, the group consciousness and using the memory from it to learn, while we might be able to use it, is it a conscious use that you're talking about?
Preferably, yes. But some people do it unconsciously.
Okay. Now, how do we do it consciously?
Through meditation.
Okay. So, for example, if I go into meditation and I wish to bring about the group consciousness of my race to learn from and grow from, then in that case, I am asking for that.
Correct.
And my guides, then, I assume, are helping you with that?
Correct. Here is a simple way to be able to tap into group consciousness. Sit in a comfortable position. Hands out in the normal fashion. If I was sitting, it would be like this. Palms up. Feet planted firmly on the ground. Close your eyes and inhale gently. Now, this would be 10 deep breaths, feeling yourself relax all the time. Ask your guides for guidance. Come here, if you like. Ask your guides for guidance down the correct, appropriate path to learn what you may that will benefit you.
So it's similar to either past life regression or after projection?
Correct.
I see.
It is a little bit of both. Blended together and used in a way that is appropriate. After all, you are reliving the group past life.